New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Talkin' Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. Today, we are talking about Season 3, Episode 10, Sebastian Rain.
And Sebastian.
Sebastian Rain. If you didn't already know, I'm Jess Sterling. And of course, that is my co-host, who has commissioned a series of anti-portraits of himself. They're really beautiful. You should go check them out, Stuart.
I don't think, who commissions portraits of themselves? Like,
rich people.
Would you ever be that person? Would you?
No, I'm not rich.
I mean, like, see, I know I've got family members that have gone for like those photo shoots and stuff like that.
Like the JCPenney ones. Do you have JCPenney over there?
Don't have JCPenney, but I think I know what vibe you're going for. Like, you go to a department store, they have the whole thing.
Every family member is dressed the same. Everyone's wearing jeans, and then you do really cringy poses.
Yeah, we used to back in the day. There's an infamous picture of me as a little baba wearing double denim. Good look.
Canadian tuxedo on the Canadian show. Killing it.
Yeah, goodbye, Canadian listeners. Thank you for listening up until this point. But other family members have gone for those kind of shoots since, and I'm like, why? Why? Who needs a glamour shoot kind of thing? It's just not my thing at all. Would never do it.
No, I'm one of those people that, like, when you're like, oh, let's take a picture, I'm like, fine, I'll do it. I don't think they'll ever listen to this podcast, so I think I'm safe to say. I'll just say it like this. I hate matching outfits. I am not a matching outfit person. There's nothing about me that says matching outfits would be something I'd enjoy. I don't like when I'm in a group picture and everyone is matching, because it is so corny and so cheesy. And those are the people I make fun of. And I was forced to do it once and I wasn't happy, but I did it anyway. Wow. Because,
I mean, you know, we are in the season of matching outfits for blonde Christian women who will wear that same, you know, knitted sweater, jeans, the long kind of
leggings and boots.
Oh, leggings, sorry, yeah. And they're carrying the little pumpkin spice.
And then they curl their hair just so that it looks like it's naturally wavy, but it's really not. And then they put a beanie on it. Like, why beanie, the fuck yeah. You gotta do your hair and then be like, nope, on goes the beanie.
I mean, so it's vibes. Look, it's like,
it's vibes.
So autumnal. Mm.
But you know what? Here's the thing. With global warming, we're not gonna need beanies very soon. Sorry to get dark. It's true.
Global warming. Anyway. We're not going to have autumn.
Yeah. Also, I have so much hair on my head. I really don't need hats. Like, it's already too much, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know how we got here, but we're talking about Schitt's Creek. We're talking about Sebastian Rain, season 3, episode 10. Stu, before we jump into our recap, also at the top, I want to say we are going to talk about Hot Frosty.
Yes.
So if that will be coming later in the podcast at the very, very end, for those who aren't aware, Dustin Milligan, AKA Ted, is in a new Netflix holiday movie with Gretchen Wieners called Hot Frosty. So we're going to talk about that at the very end of the podcast.
Yeah.
But before we do any of that stuff, Stuart, what did you think of this episode?
Absolute dud. Not even a sugarcoat. It's
very on the podcast.
Yeah, this was disappointing. I'm not gonna lie. I don't know if it's whether or not we've had a good run of them recently, and maybe the standards are getting higher and thus I'm being a bit more judgy, and I might just piss a few people off by saying it. But this one wasn't it for me. Like, it wasn't bad, but it just wasn't up there.
Interesting. Okay, and now can I ask, because we do have like three separate storylines, right? We have the Sebastian storyline, the Alexis and Ted with the old people storyline, and the Bob's poker game storyline. Was it all three that didn't work for you? Was it two out of three? What was the situation?
Two out of three didn't work for me.
Can I guess which one worked for you?
Yes.
I have to assume it's Alexis and Ted worked for you.
Wrong.
Whoa! Okay, I'm shocked. Mm-hmm. I'm shocked at Bob's poker game.
Yeah, Bob's poker game. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Ted and Alexis, their whole thing, I like what it got to. I just didn't like how they went there.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. We'll get into that. I do at the top of the podcast, before we even dive into this recap, Stuart, I do have to point out we got two Bob Jogs this episode. We were blessed with two Bob Jogs. Okay.
I mean,
to and fro a Bob Jog happened.
Okay. You're defining these as two separate Bob Jogs, but I take it as one jogging. But it's jogging like to the same destination.
Were you gonna say one jogging incident?
Yeah. Like, we have to put a metric to this, Jess. If we're gonna come up with an algorithm one day, we have to have terminology. It is an incident.
Okay.
We study it.
One scene. It's one scene. However, the reason I counted as two Bob jogs is because he jogged, he stopped, he clapped, he had a conversation, and then he jogged back to his table.
So by definition of a Bob jog, are we saying that they end when the clap happens? Like, is the clap to signify that the Bob jog has ended?
Or is coming to an end? I think he sometimes does it. It's like a signifier of like, okay, let's talk. Like, that's what it gives. This is such a good episode that we're going to spend 15 minutes talking about Bob's jog alone.
If I get my way, maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, I did have to point that out because for the fellow hooked on Bobix, I can't remember what the heck we named ourselves. I don't
certainly
think
not that. Bobology Islanders.
Bobology Island. That was it. Okay, Bobology Island. For the fellow residents of Bobology Island, I'm so happy, and you are too, and we could just be happy together that Bob jogged this episode.
There are literally dozens of you.
There are. Okay. Should we get into the recap, and then we'll talk about what you didn't like about this episode? Yeah. Okay. Put on your dancing shoes and get ready to ante up for this week's episode of Schitt's Creek. Famous photographer Sebastian Rain is specifically coming to town to consult with Moira. Oh, and he's David's ex-boyfriend. Sebastian manipulates Moira into taking a ton of photos around town. Luckily for Moira, David has a vengeful streak and sleeps with Sebastian, both to destroy the photos Sebastian has taken and get revenge for Sebastian breaking up with him back in the day. Meanwhile, Roland and Johnny get invited to Bob's poker game, where Bob wipes the floor with the rest of the crew. Johnny suspects that Gwen is helping Bob cheat, so they get Gwen to run out for more groceries, but it turns out the rest of the crew, Ronnie, Roland, Johnny, and Ray, all have major tells, which is why Bob is winning. Finally, Alexis has community service hours she must complete to graduate, so Ted invites her to volunteer at senior dance lessons. It's there that the older ladies tell her that Ted still has feelings for her. Oh, and they all hate her for breaking his heart back in the day. And that's our episode.
It's weird. On the recap, it doesn't actually sound that bad.
I'm going to
come out of this being
like,
I love this episode.
We're going to end the episode with Stuart being like, it's hot shit.
Yeah. No, I don't think we'll go that far. But
where do you want to start, Stuart?
I guess, let's get Sebastian out of the way. Because this show is fantastic at creating some people that you just really want to punch. Like, it started out with Roland, and obviously we warmed to Roland. I kind of love him in a weird way. Then we had the Taylors, who are still up there as one of, like, my top TV like sets of villains.
Yeah, spoiler alert, one of them features in Hot Frosty.
Wild. Still angry at her. But then Sebastian comes along, and I'm like, oh, great. He eclipses all of them, because not only is he just a douchebag of a person, but he also manipulated David by the sounds of things, and then manipulates Moira. And I'm like, no. Forget three strikes. Two strikes, you're out. Like, get away from here.
Yeah.
He's the worst. But, I mean, well done for, like, to Dan Levy, like, for writing such an unlikable character. It's skillful.
Everything he says sounds pretentious, pompous, all of the above, right? He calls the cafe unassertive. And then he says creativity works on its feet. Anything else is bullshit. He is the worst, which is why it is so satisfying at the very end that David is able to, like, you know, enact his own revenge on Sebastian. Mm-hmm. And what did you think of, I loved Alexis's reaction to this entire situation, because she knows, she's well aware of what David went through when he dated Sebastian. And they dated for 3 months, four if you include the month that he was seeing other people. And then Sebastian broke his heart, and David grieved for a year by watching Bridget Jones' Diary and eating mall pretzels.
For a whole year?
That's a lot of mall pretzels. He said it wasn't a year. But I'm going to assume Bridget Jones' it was like Diary. 10 months. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, even 10 months, that's so long. Like, isn't the whole thing of, like, double and a half, or is it just double the amount of time?
You're doing the Charlotte York rules. You're supposed to grieve the relationship for half the amount of time that it lasted. So by that math, David should be grieving no more than a month and a half.
I agree with Charlotte York in that case then. That's ridiculous. But of course, Moira, I would have expected to have been more aware of this. Like, it's Alexis that she doesn't really care that much for. It's David.
Oh, good, David, you're here. I was hoping you'd be home. Okay, so, you know, I don't know if you know the question I'm going to ask next, Stuart, but do you have mall pretzels in the UK?
We do, yes.
Yeah, you have, like, Auntie Anne's and, like, Wetzel's pretzels and
exactly
stuff?
Exactly, that one. Just okay. That one. Yeah, Auntie Anne's, yeah.
Okay.
Or Auntie Anne's.
I worked at an Auntie Anne's. Auntie Anne's. Sorry. I did, yeah, briefly.
What? I'm just jealous. Why? Because
oh, okay.
I love mall pretzels. Like,
I mean, they're delicious.
It's a vessel for salt.
It's really fun. We had like the savory ones and the sweet ones and the cinnamon ones. Yeah, they were good. So yeah, listen, no shame to David. People grieve in their own ways, and I feel like it's socially acceptable to binge a movie over and over again and eat a ton of mall pretzels. That sounds right to me.
But not for 10 months, though.
It's a long time. It's a long time for a 3 month relationship. But this douchebag is, like, supposed to meet Moira at the cafe, and he specifically goes to the motel just to see David. And he does a thing I hate, which is the double cheek kiss. I hate it. It feels European to me, though, Stuart. Do the people do that over there? Do they do the
mainland Europe? Yeah. In the UK, you wouldn't catch us dead doing that. I mean, we barely shake hands. We don't have to, like, get close to people.
Yeah.
Thank God for COVID. Like, keep your distance.
Oh, my God. It gave us a few good things.
But no, he's just such a... I keep saying it. He's a douchebag. Because he just makes me angry thinking about him. Like, his awful kind of, like, attitude towards them. The fact that he is going there to see David. And he even, like, saying, oh, it's exactly as I expected. Like, come on.
Yeah. He calls the photos haunting. Like, it's really awful. He's so pretentious. I love that David describes the sweater he's wearing as looking homeless but very expensive or something like that.
Homelessy, like, sort of way.
Yeah. It's horrible. This guy sucks so much. But at least David does get his revenge on him.
Yeah.
So, like, there's that.
Yeah, if this didn't happen, I would have been so much more down on this episode than I am. And like, I'm kind of playing it up. It's a podcast after all, people. Like, I don't actually hate it that much. But when he got the revenge at the end, I was just like proper like punching the air because it was so good. Because not only did he get some, but he also got the memory card. And then also like the way in which it was revealed as well was just so kind of chef's kiss, because he had the opportunity to not be a douche to Moira when she was given the kind of agency to go and tell him, no, I'm not happy with the fact that you've taken those photos and I want the memory card. Yeah. But so it's almost like David was like, no, here's a sword. Let's see if you fall on it. And then I'm going to reveal it. So yeah, I thought it was great the way that happened.
Yeah. The one other thing I will say that I enjoy about this episode is getting to see this different side to Moira. She's so used to being the one like of note, like the person of interest in town mm-hmm. and around others, that when she's around someone who is famous in his own circles, she doesn't know what to do. And she ends up in a situation where she's like, he was just shooting photos. I didn't know what to do. I feel like mm-hmm. it's rare that you find that Moira doesn't have a voice or doesn't have agency when she's around others. So at least we got to see a different side to Moira. Now it sucks. Yeah. Like what happened to her, right? Like, I mean, she was in her consulting outfit, not her photography outfit. So really wasn't, well, she had like 20 necklaces on. Catherine O'Hara's neck must have been sore by the end of that day because of the sheer number of necklaces she was wearing.
Just got such neck strength from the sheer weight she's carrying.
Yeah.
I kind of, there's something about this that I think the reason why I've like instinctually kind of kicked out against it is because, to get maybe a bit too real for a comedy podcast here and stuff, my mum's at that age where she's been scammed, and it was horrible to have that kind of like someone that you look up to and respect and that has raised you be vulnerable and kind of need your help to kind of help resolve things. And it kind of listed those kind of vibes, because with the way Moira was talking, it was like she'd been just taken all of her agency away from her, and she kind of felt a bit vulnerable, which is why I kind of love the writing for giving her that bit towards the end where she could say to him, no, that's not cool, give it back, kind of thing, and demand it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we talk about the kind of like the quality of writing in the show and how it kind of, it doesn't lean upon horrible stereotypes, and it doesn't kind of lean into the kind of like nastiness that like that life can be like and stuff. So I thought it was great that it had that kind of positive spin on it as well, as well as also allowing David to be a bit of a hero in the moment as well. But there was a kind of reality in that where Moira was just vulnerable, and I was just like, I got really protective. I was like, no, you stay away from her. You're a horrible monster.
What are you doing? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So Sebastian sucks. Probably the most exciting thing to come out of his storyline is the fact that we get to debate how we're supposed to pronounce Sebastian. Moira says Sebastian.
Is correct.
I want to know from the listeners how you pronounce Sebastian. Sebastian, let us know.
I mean, we all know that her pronunciation of everything is correct, right? As example, like, you've got to have a bit of courage.
Courage!
Excited beyond compare.
Bless her.
All right, let's talk about the Alexis and Ted storyline. So tell me about your feelings on this, because you said you liked like what ended up happening with them, but not how we got there, right?
Yeah, I love the third party pointing out to Alexis that she's a bit of a fool for letting Ted go, and for pointing out to her that Ted still holds a candle, like, because she's never going to really see it because she is so in Alexis mode. And I think obviously, mm-hmm. like, she quite rightly isn't looking for that or in that direction at the moment, because she's focused on her study stuff, which I think the way in which she's pursuing it is great. I loved the whole bit with her and the volunteering hours and trying to get away with it, throwing character. But I thought that the whole, I don't know, it was just the whole dancing thing. I was just like,
Yeah. Okay. See, I like it. Number one, I love it because I love that Alexis doesn't like old people because she hates skin tags and they smell funny. And great, she's like, oh, great, them. I get to touch them.
The face when she said that.
It's so perfect. Oh. It's so perfect. So I like, I also like that we're bringing the community service stuff back, right? Where like she did community service, but it was because of like something that she did wrong and got caught for. And then she also now has a job that she wants to pretend is community service. It's all very funny. So I appreciate that. Like, yeah, she needs community service hours to graduate. I love that these old women absolutely can't stand her because they love Ted so much. Like, is Doris or Gladys or something? Does she have arthritis? Because it looks like she's giving me the finger. She's like, oh no, she does have arthritis, but not in that hand. It's so good. Dot. That's her name. That's the woman's name.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I think it's adorable. It's so sweet.
Old bitchiness. Like the way in which old women just don't, can I say old women, like old people just, they get to a point where they just don't give a like hell about anything, and they'll say what's on their mind and just be unguarded and unveiled with it, and I kind of appreciate it. Like, I kind of love old people when they get like that. But there was something, I don't know, I was gonna ask actually, the whole like graduating thing, do you have to do volunteer hours to graduate, or do we think this is a Canadian thing?
I think it's either a Canadian or made up for the show sort of thing.
It's a good idea.
I didn't have to do it. I could see how you would, though. Like, I could see how a high school would make this something you'd have to do. The only time I've had to do community service hours for like was like a traffic ticket that I then got down, you know, it was like points or whatever the heck it was, money. And they're like, okay, community service instead. And I worked, actually, funnily enough, worked at a senior center. Did my volunteer hours at a senior center.
Did you teach them how to dance?
No. I just had to like prep food and tables and stuff. Wasn't fun. Nah, it was whatever.
Yeah. See, I have had a speeding ticket. I got off going 6 miles an hour over the limit, over Tower Bridge. Because apparently the limit's 20 and not 30 as I thought it was.
Okay, seriously, cops that pull people over for going 6 miles. Is it miles an hour, or was it like something?
We don't get pulled over for it. We have like automatic cameras that will just like send you a thing in the post and be like, you naughty little turd, we've got a photo of you. Oh,
that's even worse. We have those. We have like traffic cameras on like lights and stuff. So if you like ran a red light on a light that had a camera. But in terms of like speeding, generally speaking, I feel like you'd have to be pulled over.
But when I got that through, they were like, yeah, you can get points or you can take this course which will tell you about speeding. And we had to sit through it. It was like 2 hours where they go through like the facts of everything about how you don't actually say time if you are speeding. If anyone's speeding while listening to this right now, cut it out. It's bad. You're gonna get a ticket.
So I did like the interactions with the older women, especially like you said, they point out Alexis was a fool to give up Ted, and like this one older lady has been trying to like hook Ted up with one of her grandchildren or something for 2 years, made me think, Stuart, because we back in the day when Ted and Alexis were dating, we had tried to map out the time of everything, right? And we're like, they can't have been dating for more than like a couple of months without him, like, you know, before he proposed. I'm gonna have to look at this in our off time here, but there's someone who made a spreadsheet of how long they think, like, in between episodes, like how much time has passed. They did. So I'm gonna have to look through this and see how long it's been, because apparently they mark the 1 year mark of the roses being in Schitt's Creek as between Rooms by the Hour and Murder Mystery. So between episodes for this season. So that would mean theoretically that like it's been at least 8 months since Ted and Alexis broke up.
Okay, so it's been a while.
Yeah. But
when, more than enough time was needed for grieving, according to the rules.
Yeah. And it also sounds like this woman was trying to hook Ted up with her grandchild, like, even before Alexis got into town.
Oh, yeah.
Based on that math.
But well, again, I mean, Ted was a career man at that point. He was setting up the veterinary practice. Yeah. He was,
and all of this is completely conjecture and speculation, because it's very, you know, you have to, it's timey-wimey. You can't, you know, it's like when people try to map out Succession. You just don't try to do it. It just breaks your brain a little bit.
But if the year anniversary comes before Murder Mystery, does that mean that the Murder Mystery for last year's one happened while they were there and they just weren't invited? If so,
theoretically, if she has it on the same date every year, assume she has it around the same time every year, which means they could have like just missed it. But
true,
anyway, I'm going to have to examine the spreadsheet and get back to you, but I'm very intrigued by it and really excited that I found it. It is by a person named Sparkles Magic Light Love on Tumblr.
Fantastic.
Love
also,
it.
I love the fact that you're reviewing spreadsheets and coming back to me. This feels so work-like.
I love spreadsheets so much. Anything else about the Alexis Ted storyline? So where do you see this going? I guess is probably the best question.
I mean, it's gotta be going to like them getting back together, right? And
she
having more
for him. He's her boss.
Yeah, but no, but then she's gonna get her education and she's gonna go on to like bigger and better things. Maybe she'll choose to stick with him when she has the opportunity to go elsewhere. Like it'll be more her choice kind of thing.
Okay.
But yeah. If these two don't get back together, I'm going to be really surprised.
Okay.
Because I see it. See it, Jess.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Over the past 75 years, more than 10,000 chemicals have entered our food supply, but the EU allows just 300 additives. At Thrive Market, we prioritize quality, banning over 1,000 ingredients found in conventional grocery stores. Our Healthy Swap scanner helps you find better versions of your pantry essentials without the junk, dyes, or fillers, and everything is delivered right to your doorstep. So shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health at thrivemarket.com/getstarted for 30% off your first order and a free $60 gift.
Shall we talk about Bob's poker game?
Yes.
Okay. Incredible. Bob is so talented. Can I just say? Like, he's so talented at poker. I kind of loved the cheesy visors that him and Gwen were wearing.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of loved
it. If you're going to do a poker night, go all out. Like, I feel like you've got to have that kind of, like, the outfits and everything. You've got to have the whole, like, the green felt over the table and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's not the same otherwise.
No. And Roland's strategy for trying to avoid talking to Bob is, why, yes, the weather is cold outside.
How Roland has the audacity to tell Johnny that he's not, like, being casual enough is just... he's brilliantly horrible, Roland.
Mm-hmm.
He's just such a doofus. But that I wonder how many more times they're gonna do this weird dynamic with him and Johnny, where Roland's doing a shtick and Johnny's just not going along with it, and then or just not getting it, and they're like, because the two of them I think could bounce off each other forever, and I'd still find it funny. But
yeah, it's ridiculous. they basically, Roland doesn't want to go to Bob's because he keeps losing money at the poker night. Mm-hmm. And Johnny is very interested in playing poker at Bob's. And then Johnny speculates, and Johnny, you are so wrong for this. Like, oh, I must be losing because Bob is cheating. And the way he's cheating is that Gwen is making snacks for everyone. And fancy snacks, Stuart. Like, we're not talking chips and dip, okay? Mm-hmm. We're talking bacon-wrapped scallops.
Yeah.
Ma'am? Excuse me?
I can see why Bob was so scared of losing Christmas World, because if he lost Christmas World, he would lose Gwen. And Gwen seems to be an absolute powerhouse when it comes to the snacks.
Yeah. And this was like, so this was brutal. They're like, okay, we got to send Gwen away. And I felt like there should have been a different way to do this, because I feel like they're just like roasting her snacks by being like, we need kosher options and gluten-free options. And it's like, that's so rude. Like, Gwen already made you all these snacks and now you're going to do this to her? Stop it.
I mean, of all excuses to get her to go out and get more, I mean, it's better than saying the snacks are awful and we need different ones. At least they're going on dietary requirements, which is, like, admittedly, the more polite thing is to just, you know, not have snacks.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like she's giving you a full meal here. Or bring your own. Exactly that. But to, like, send her out to go get them is rude. But in terms of the levels of rude, it could have been ruder.
Yeah.
But, I mean, fair on them for obliging. Like,
yeah. I thought,
of all things. And the revelation that I wonder whether or not Bob is just laying it on thick, but like, if we are to take him at his word and they do reinvest all of the winnings back into the snacks anyway, what a good move. That's just like, because he just wants to spend time with them. It's not about the money.
I think it's slightly more believable because she's serving things like bacon wrapped scallops.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I think it adds some credulity to like what he's saying. However, I could also see a world where Bob is like you said, laying it on very thick. So maybe he spends like 75% of like what he makes, and they spend it on the snacks and visors, you know.
But I can't imagine they're getting lots of money. Like, I don't believe it. I mean, at least at that table, I mean, you've got Roland and you've got Johnny at the table.
Yeah,
I don't know how minted. I mean, Ray's probably minted. Considering
he has a lot of businesses.
Ronnie seems really competent.
Why didn't Patrick get business? The invite?
That's a good shout.
He works with Ray.
Having Patrick in that scene would have really helped it, I think. That would have been like a good other thing, because he could have been like the one.
He's to, like the middleman.
Rationalize it. Yeah, exactly. To maybe take Bob's side a little bit. And then to kind of do to Johnny what Johnny often does to other people, which is like give them that kind of like judgy look.
Mm-hmm.
That could have worked out really well.
Well, and hopefully he would have stopped Roland from basically outing that Johnny thought that they were cheating, which was so hilarious. Awful. It was so awful of him to do. Johnny gets outed, and as a result, everyone basically has to like grovel to Gwen. Like, I think, was it Ray or Johnny that had to give up their watch to Gwen? It's like, oh, geez.
Yeah. Wait, did he lose the watch because of the... the thing, or was it?
Oh, just I that thought he lost gave it to her to like apologize, but I could
no. I thought he'd put it in as like a bet.
Oh, Auntie,
like he'd run out of money. Yeah,
possibly. Then maybe. Yeah. But they all suck at poker, it turns out. I think it. What is it? Is it Ray that like taps his foot when he's lying? It's like that's such a huge tell. How would you never realize that about yourself?
Yeah, which I get. If we're gonna apply some real kind of like strong, serious thoughts into this. Is Ray really that good of a businessman if he's got such a good tell? He must be an awful negotiator, right?
Yeah. Doesn't make him a bad photographer, though. And we've seen his skills.
No. But we have seen him negotiate a realtor's contract. And I don't believe he was tapping his foot. So maybe everything he was saying to Alexis back then was true.
It's true. Yeah. But I did like this scene. I like whenever we get to see these side characters a little bit more. And I felt like most of them were serviced really well, especially Bob and Gwen in this episode. So I enjoyed that a lot. Yeah,
it was great to see them again.
Yeah. Anything else about that storyline, Stuart, before we get into some feedback?
Not in particular. I think like it was just a great excuse to have Johnny. Like, kind of, I love it when we see Johnny branching out and interacting with other characters. And I know that, like, typically Roland and Bob are the ones that he ordinarily goes towards because they're the people that he hangs out with most. But, like, seeing him with, like, Ray and Ronnie, it's just good to see, like, Johnny be mixing up as well. Because I think mm-hmm. we see all of the other three interacting with, like, everyone in town, really. Whereas Johnny, I always feel like, gets kind of siloed to either to a booth scene in the cafe or is at the motel. Like, we very rarely see him in the other kind of venue. So it's great to see him out and about. I'm just happy Johnny's going outside.
He's socializing. Maybe Bob can convince him Bob's Bagels is still a good idea. It could happen. We don't know.
Don't mention Bob's Bagels to me again. I'm still sad.
Let's get into some feedback. We did hear from Aaron, who says, I would have been full sus about Bob as well, but I think his takedown of all of them felt really validating, even though I don't like Bob. Roland throwing Johnny under the bus is the most Roland thing Roland could do. This guy. The old ladies hating on Alexis gets me every time because I can totally see myself being one of them. Wait until they watch Hot Frosty.
Oh, God.
That's so good. I love Bob. I'll never not love Bob is the problem. It's just something about him, you know? Something about him and his little jog.
I mean, everyone's got their problematic people that they love.
It's true. We also got a message from Erin that's more, like, generally about the show. And she says, this is her hot take. I feel like Schitt's Creek is better on a binge. I've never realized how slow some of the episodes are because I always watch so many at a time. And no matter how many episodes you bundle together, you always get a few bangers in there and have a few belly laughs. Doing one at a time has made the show feel a bit slower and less hilarious than I remember. I still love it, but the weekly watch has taken a tiny bit of shine away. But I still love it, and it's still one of my favorite shows in the whole world, and I will watch it 1,000 times again.
Okay, so the trick is binge listen to these podcasts. So queue them up, but download them. That's the key thing.
You gotta download. Yep.
I can see why that would be the case, certainly, because I mean, shorter episodes have been a thing that we've talked about before, like, kind of being so short, it makes it feel like it should be a binge show. This is probably why it took off so well during, like, the whole COVID season, is because everyone wanted something to binge at that time. We needed to fill the hours with something. Mm-hmm. And when you're there and you're like, just another one. And it turns out to be 2 a.m. Yeah. You're like, Christ, I've got work tomorrow. It's a great format for that. So I can see why a weekly would take the kind of shine off of it. But yeah, if you stack them up, it'll work.
I understand, as someone who has been Schitt's Creek a lot of times, like, I understand that it's easy, especially, like, if it's a 20-minute sitcom, you can watch three of those in an hour. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so easy to binge them. I understand where Aaron is coming from. I do think there's so much love about each individual episode, but I can understand wanting, like, to progress things further quicker. Jared says, Sebastian is just discount Harry Styles, right? Do other people see that? I think that is kind of rude to Harry Styles, because I think Harry Styles is attractive.
I think it's rude to discount Harry Styles. I think, yes. Can you get a discount on a discount?
he's diet light Harry Styles.
Diet light discount zero Harry Styles.
Exactly. That is very funny.
But I am getting that slight vibe.
Yeah, he gives off a little bit of a dash of Harry Styles. Doesn't have the fashion of Harry Styles, I will say.
Hobo chic.
We also got a new review, which means I will read it on the podcast. If you haven't sent in a review, please do. It helps the podcast. I will read it on the podcast, of course. And I couldn't be more excited about this person's username because it's Cutie Patooter. And I don't know why that cracked me up so much.
Patooter.
Cutie Patooter. And they wrote, lovely. Oh my God, this podcast is so mindful, so demure. us.
I love that so much. Demure. Mindful. So
never
mindful.
Never in my life been so called demure. Demure.
Never.
Thank you so much, Cutie Patooter. We appreciate you for listening. And just thank you. That warmed my heart.
Very sweet.
Okay, Stuart. Shall we get into the ratings?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's do this.
Simply the best. Who you got this week?
Oh, it's just so such a shame because it was just like I thought it was just such a competitive group. No, David. Hands down, David. Fantastic episode for David. I thought the way in which he stuck up for Moira, got some, put the hobo chic discount Harry Styles in his place was perfect. Yeah, great episode for David.
I'm not giving my point to David.
What? What's wrong? Why, Jess? If you give it Bob for a jog, I'm going to be
furious. I am going to give it to someone who is truly selfless, wants to have fun
Jessica.
With their friends.
No.
Takes money that they win without cheating and puts it towards snacks for their friends.
I resign.
Give my point to Bob.
No! You are literally just trying to bump up his score because it's in a negative, I'm sure.
He did good things this episode and he jogged twice.
That is outrageous.
I'm not even sorry. I feel like that Joey Tribbiani gif when he like eats all the girls' food while she's in the bathroom and he just goes, I'm not even sorry. I'm not even sorry.
That's so funny. Well, as well as your feedback into podcast at Talking Shit, you can also send in your applications. Jessica will need a new co-host.
Disgruntled Pelican. Stuart, who is the disgruntled pelican for you this week?
Jessica Sterling is my disgruntled pelican. No. Oh my goodness. I mean, look, Sebastian's too obvious, and I kind of like, I only want to give it to like one-off characters if they've had a huge impact.
The
really.
Taylors.
Like, the Taylors had like a big, like they, I felt like they were a big deal and a real moment.
Yeah.
The show. I don't think Sebastian has that level of impact at all. So I'm gonna. Oh. Yeah, I'm gonna give it to Roland because he couldn't go along with it. Like he was he's an awful liar. Even in like the bits where like there's no short-term memory either because they were talking about what the plan was and immediately he forgets. I'm like, dude, you're doing this intentionally, right?
He's the worst. Like, I don't like a guy who's not a go-with guy. And Roland is not a go-with guy.
Yeah.
So he also is, he's my disgruntled pelican as well. So Roland.
Stop acting like a disgruntled pelican.
Stop it.
Stop it, buddy. Stop it.
Those are our ratings. We do. This is so exciting. We have a wig watch this week. Stuart.
Finally.
This is the number that Moira wore. Not one of my favorites. This is the scene. Her and David confront Sebastian. It's kind of like an auburn cherry brown bob that's straight and has no body to it.
It's a bob and you don't like it.
Where's the volume?
Yeah, it's flat. I mean, maybe it kind of is reflective of her like current feelings because she's kind of like feels a bit flat after being like not I keep saying taken advantage of, like kind of being like putting a trust in someone and having someone abuse it, like poor Moira in this case. Not the best wig, not the best episode for her.
No, I just I never like it when she does like a brunette look. Like I never feel like it looks very good, especially this one. It's just so plain. It's like anybody could have this haircut, you know?
Wow.
Just don't like it. I don't like it. She could do better. That was our weight watch.
Anyway. Rather you than me tell Moira Rose you can do better. Jeez.
Let's get
got some courage you do.
Courage.
I do. Mm-hmm. Okay, we are on to our episode ranking. Stuart, you had strong feelings on this episode. So did they change at all in us discussing it? Where do you stand?
I think I've warmed to it a little better since talking about it, which I think bumps it up into a new David, because I was going to pitch shit out of luck.
Yeah, here's the thing. Personally, I know you liked the poker story the best. I love the Ted and Alexis stuff. Like, I think it's just very sweet. And also, Alexis alone, like, I could have given her my, what's it called? Simply the Best point. For alone, the moment when she smacks David and she's like the shocked face that she has, for those watching us on YouTube, it is like so funny to me. It's so good. Something about Alexis this episode really worked for me. So yeah. I wouldn't have done shit out of luck, but I agree. Like, I do think it's kind of an ew David. Like, it's fine. It's not great.
Yeah.
So I think it falls into that below average tier.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. Like, we've been saying for so long that, like, anything that we shove in Love That Journey for me is a perfectly serviceable episode. And I think that the bar is raised really high with this show because, I mean, if we look at these, like, some of the episodes that we've got in our average are really good episodes. Mm-hmm. And so for this to be a new David, it's not a damning indictment on it. We're not saying it's, like, kind of really bad. I enjoyed myself watching it. I just don't think that it's up to the level of the others, certainly. And I would put it below Murder Mystery as well. I think it's certainly the weakest of the season so far.
Yeah, that's fine by me. I don't have strong feelings. I might put it above Murder Mystery, but, like, I don't feel strongly enough about it to argue that it should go there. Like, I think it belongs in this tier, and that's fine by me. So.
Cool.
Oh, no.
Ew, David.
Yikes. Well, that's where we landed on that. And I believe that means it is time for some hot, frosty chat. So, if you haven't seen Hot Frosty, if you are scared about being spoiled, you can guess the entire movie. Trust me. We'll see you next time. We'll talk to you next time, season 3, episode 10. Actually, Stuart, before we let those people go, should we reveal the title of next week's episode?
Episode title, okay. Yeah, what is that?
It is season 3, episode 11, Stop Saying Lice!
What?
With an exclamation point.
Oh, no. Because that is such an Alexis quote, if I've heard one. Like, surely it's gotta be. Like... Oh, no. No. I don't want them to have lice.
We'll have to wait and see.
I'm surprised it's taken a year, though, if it has been a year in that motel for them to get lice.
Bed bugs, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I would have to say to that is...
Ew, David.
Yeah, supremely. Yeah.
Gross. So that will be next week. But let's talk Hot Frosty. We watched this movie today, Stuart. You've now seen it twice.
Which,
that's on you. That's on you. You made those decisions.
I regret nothing. It's an experience. And I hope that if anyone is listening, you understand what I mean when I say it's an experience. I love this kind of shit film. Like, it's phenomenally funny because everyone that's making it knows that it's terrible. It's not quite to the Hallmark level where they kind of take themselves a little seriously and think that they are telling a very sweet love story. It's about a freaking snowman who comes to life and then just falls in love with the first person that he meets. It's absurd.
He imprints on her. Yeah.
It's so wrong.
Yeah. The premise is a down and out widow named Kathy. She's sad. She's depressed. Her house leaks. She's a widow. It's not that she's poor, which I found out about halfway through the movie. It's just that she's depressed. She can't bother to fix anything. And she's given a scarf by, some locals who want her to get it in and want her to be happy. So they're like, take the scarf. She puts it on a bear. They're having like a snowman competition.
Snow sculpture competition. Yeah.
And someone decided to make one that was ripped with nipples, and so she's like, I'm gonna just throw this scarf on him. And it turns out he's Dustin Milligan, aka Ted, except he is beardless, ripped, long-haired Ted.
Supremely ripped. Like, I don't think there's even like the tiniest amount of fat on this person at this time. Ted is shredded for this film. And I'm sure that before every scene where his top was off, he was dehydrated for it because, like, he looked... It was ridiculous, right?
Yeah. But oh, yeah, no. Yeah.
It was... I mean, I love the fact that, like, they had the self-awareness to have, like, the thirsty mums as well and just being like, oh, I'll give you the lift kind of thing and making him change the lights and stuff like that. It was so self-aware, which I really loved.
Yeah, yeah. I've pulled up a photo. So let me zoom in. Let me just set a enhance.
Let me zoom in. Oh yeah, for science. For science, right?
For science. Mm-hmm. This is the hot snowman. But he's cold. So the problem is he's still a snowman, and so he gets hot inside. He puts ice down his shirt. Of course, this also means he's shirtless most of the time.
Yeah.
And by the problem is there's also this cop who's a cop and does cop things, so that sucks. And he has it out for Jack, who Kathy names him Jack because he's wearing coveralls with a Jack name tag on it, you know. Jack Frost, blah blah. So there's a cop who has it out for him and is like going to arrest him, and he's put in a jail cell, but he's gonna melt and he maybe dies and all this other crap, and the town falls in love with him, whatever. The ending is where I got like lost, Stuart, and obviously this is not a movie where you're supposed to pick apart the plot, but he nearly melts in a jail cell, and then they bring him outside and they're like, throw him in the fakest looking snow in the world. Okay, great. We're going to throw him in the fake snow. And he's laying there and she's like, I love you. She takes the scarf off of him. Okay. Which I was like, no, that's what gives him the magical powers. Like, this is like Frosty. You can't take away his magical things because then he just is a puddle. But she takes the scarf back because she's like, mine. They're like, the doctor in town is like, come on, honey. It's okay. It's okay. And they're like, let's just leave a dead body here. Perfect. Great. Mwah. Chef's kiss. Love it. He comes back to life. And not only is he like alive, but also now he's human.
Christmas miracle, Jess.
Of course. Obviously.
Why do you doubt it?
Silly me. I should have known.
It's such trash.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
I love that this is, I think this week is the most popular thing on Netflix, if I'm hearing rightly, because everyone is just meme watching it. I think everyone has come to realize that these kind of like trashy Christmas films are actually gold, and that some of the best experiences are watching these with your friends and just ripping them. Like, we had so much fun watching this.
Look at the snow nipples.
Obscene jokes. There are snow nipples.
There are snow nipples. Like, literally, the thing is, before he becomes human, if they were to have sex, his penis would full-on melt inside of her. Like, I'm sorry to tell you, Jack, vaginas are warm. Okay?
Wow. We alluded to this before this podcast, and I didn't think you'd actually say it on the podcast itself. Incredible.
I didn't use the same terms because I'm trying to be like PG-13-ish. But here's the thing. I said penis. Here's the thing. Yeah, it's ridiculous. The whole thing was ridiculous. It was really fun though to watch and make fun of because of the ridiculousness of it. And I would definitely say that Dustin Milligan does a great job. He's very like naive and cute, and he's exactly what you think he'd be. But we did get a question, Stuart. And the question is, now we have some alternatives to this. So we have Mary F. Kill Mutt Ted Frosty, which I believe Frosty is AKA Jack from this movie.
Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna kill Mutt with no question. No question at all.
Is there any instantly. Like is there any debate?
No.
I think if Mutt's in any of these, it's always gonna be Mutt.
Yeah.
Like I would take Roland over Mutt.
Yeah. Here's the thing. We're getting into tricky territory now. Because I guess I have some qualifying questions. The Frosty that we're boinking, if we're boinking a Frosty, is he Frosty or is he like Jack at the end when he's human? Like, are we looking at icicle penis?
No, I do believe like Frosty was the terminology used here, Jess. Like, okay. you can't half measure this. You're effing a snowman or you're not.
I think I'm going to F the snowman.
Fantastic.
Because I can't marry a man who's like no heat on in the winter. You know? Like, this man can only eat cold foods. He's like chomping on ice. Also, there was one point in the film where Jack full on was just slurping water. And I wanted to kill him.
Yeah, that was a bit nasty.
Where do you land on this, Stuart, with your Mary Ding kill?
Who's the other option again?
Mutt, you're killing. Because everyone's going to kill Mutt.
Yeah.
Ted and Frosty.
See, here's the thing. If I marry Ted, do I have to deal with his show home of a house?
Yes.
Like, I'd have to...
Well, you'd have to convince him to move, which I don't think would be that difficult.
I'll marry Ted. Yeah, whatever. That's Although saying note. That might make Alexa sad, which I wouldn't want.
She'll get over it. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Either way, I think what I'm getting at is, F the snowman. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And now you also proposed an alternative to this, which is Mary Ding kill Ted from season one, Ted from seasons two and three, and Frosty.
Because there's a marked difference, right?
There is. So what is your answer to this one?
Okay. Here's what we've got to do. We've got to weigh up how wet Ted was in season one. That sentence could have gone anywhere, it went there. Because he was so, like, he was just so blah. Like,
oh, and, in that way. Okay, yeah, I understand.
Like, he was just... a limp handshake of like a kind
a
of
noodle.
Like yeah
noodle.
He was just such a pushover,
macaroni pasta. Yeah,
yeah, but then the other one's a snowman, so I'm like
yeah.
And season two and three Ted is like up there. Like I think season two three Ted is top tier,
so you're marrying season two and three Ted.
Well, here's the thing,
or are you boinking?
The way in which this is the thing. With the way in which this whole like setup is proposed, now I've always wondered this about this. If you marry them, does that mean you never boink them? Or do you get to boink them many times over?
I think it's a situation where the boink is a one-time boink. Because you're like, I don't want to see this guy again. I want it to be a one-night stand.
Marriage
is you're spending your life with them, whatever that means to you, however often that means you're doing, as Ted says. And I did the finger motion from season one.
There's a gift.
There is a gift.
Okay.
Interested.
Well, in that case, then, yeah, I mean, like, boink the snowman, kill season one Ted, and marry season two, three Ted. Marry season two, three Ted.
I think that's correct. And I think the reason is, I think if you boink season one Ted, he's going to be very clingy. He's going to get very attached to you. And I think that's a problem.
Yeah.
And season two and three Ted is elite, both in the looks department and in the personality department.
Exactly. So. I mean, he'd encourage me to go to community college. I mean, like, get you a guy that's going to do that.
Who doesn't love that? This movie was ridiculous. I do encourage people to watch it because it's predictable anyway. So I don't think we spoiled anything. Like, you know what's going to happen the whole time, you know? But it was fun and silly. And I think that people should watch at least one of these sorts of movies every year because they are so ridiculous and because Netflix and Hallmark and all these other places put them out like hotcakes around the holidays because they're like, these middle-aged women will eat this up. Nom, 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 nom. You know, like that's what they expect.
It's incredible. If you watch one, make sure you give it a thumbs up, like at the end, say you like it, and then your recommendations will just be all of them. For the remainder, and then what you do is you look through the list and you just find the ones with the worst ratings, and then They're the gems. Ones. They're the brilliant ones, yeah.
Yeah, there's the classic Hot Christmas Ghost, which I don't even know the full name of, really.
Not even on Netflix or anything. It's on YouTube. It's that bad.
What's the name of it? Do you remember?
Spirit of Christmas.
Spirit of Christmas. Yeah.
One of the rare ones that takes itself super serious, despite the fact that he's a ghost.
And shouldn't take it seriously at all.
No.
She
wants to boink the ghost.
She did want to boink that ghost.
I think she did boink the ghost.
Definitely boink the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else about Hot Frosty? Which also, the name. They knew what they were doing.
They really did. Only other thing is that apparently Dustin Milligan only had 2 weeks to prepare for this as well.
So he's that ripped in life?
Yeah. I imagine he probably did a few more sit-ups and stuff. I can't imagine that he spent those 2 weeks learning the script, because what script is there to learn? So
he could have spent those 2 weeks getting a haircut and growing a beard. I'm just saying.
Dustin Milligan, if you're listening to this, apologies.
I love you, Dustin Milligan, but your hair looks better shorter, and you need, every man should have a beard. I don't make the rules, but I also these are the rules. So that's that. I'm not sorry. Yet again, I'm not sorry.
Wow. Just a lot of not apologizing on this episode.
That's kind of my life. I have this opinion and I won't apologize for it.
Yeah. Deal with it.
But yeah, that's incredible. This week's episode. Next week's episode, we're going to be talking about lice. So get excited for that. And in the meantime, follow us at Talkin' Shit everywhere, especially on YouTube. You want to get to 200 subscribers. You don't know what's going to happen. It's not going to be waterboarding, but it will be something.
Okay, then make a proposal. We reenact Hot Frosty. We get a load of people, listeners together. We do a table read of the script.
Sounds horrible. I'm sure it's going to be even worse just reading the words on the script. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. It's going to be this is actually trash. Actually the worst. Oh, my God. If you haven't seen Hot Frosty and you're going to watch it, make sure you stick around for, the song during the extra credit scene. Because, first of all, there's bloopers, and I love bloopers at the end of a movie. And second of all, there is a man who has, a snow gun. He's, blowing out the fake snow. And at one point during the song, he's, full-on just thrusting. And I laughed so hard at that. I'm not even ashamed to admit that. Watch it. It's incredible.
Here in Hope Springs.
Oh, God.
Anyway, we have to go. I'm singing.
Yeah, we have to leave. This has been a delight. We'll be back next week with season 3, episode 11. And until then, everyone, warmest regards.
And best wishes.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.